Previously on Alcoa FM.
It's Alcoa FM, your music, your world. So, today, we have two very special guests in the studio who've been volunteering and helping on site at the George Building Collapse at 75 Victoria Street that happened on Monday. Dirk Barnard, volunteer firefighter, and Yaku Hanakom. Welcome to the studio.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
So appreciate your time today, gents. Let's get straight into it. It's been quite an ordeal. The whole of George has felt it. The whole vibe of George has changed, and even in the garden route. And yeah, we've been feeling it too. You guys have been right there in the thick of things. Yaku, when did you and Dirk first arrive on site and start to assist?
Well, the building collapsed at 1409. I got the alert from the George alert team at 1419. And I was on site at 1426.
Okay. All right. Dirk, you mentioned in your post that you're very grateful for the community of George and their assistance and donations. Can you tell us a little more about that, how everybody got involved?
Yeah. I must say everything was quite weird for me at first. You know, it's a building site and all the different EMSs are there, rescue services, everyone's there. And all of a sudden, there's ladies dealing out soup. There is, it looks like little tuck shops. There is boxes of Bar Ones, boxes of Texas, different energy bars, energy drinks. Every single thing was accounted for. There's eye drops, there's Panado, Slow Mag. It really looked like a little pop-up shop mixed with a chemist as well.
Wow. Well, how beautiful. Wow. That's unbelievable. You also mentioned that you were divided into teams and briefed on exactly what to do. Tell us a bit more about your team and what you were responsible for.
Yeah, look, I mentioned on Facebook me and Yaku, but I don't want to take any credit away from anybody else. Mm-hmm. It wasn't just us two. Our team consisted of at least 10 people. Francois and Alfie, you guys were amazing. You guys were the other two guys that actually also did Leopard Crawl. I just didn't have you on Facebook to tag you, so my apologies for that. But every single thing is accounted for. There is a team briefing. You know, the first thing that you want to do, and I had a problem trying to explain this to my wife and the general public as well, is everybody's perception is, you know, there's people in the building, just go in guns blazing, rip everything apart. But there's so many risk assessments, everything that's been done for. And what I've learned with, I mean, in school, I did lifeguarding as well. And it's one of those unfortunate things. Your main thing that you are taught is your life is more valuable. As crass as it may sound, your life is more valuable than the person that is potentially compromised.
Okay.
So that is the reason why health and safety, everybody is assessing every single thing with a structure permanently. So, yeah, everything was done meticulously, and we were all taught exactly what to do, when to do, how to do it. And then the most amazing thing for me about everything is the when they do the sound horn, one horn is for everybody to keep quiet. The whole site is dead quiet. And then if they bleep it twice, then everybody can consume or resume their work. Mm-hmm. And in that time, you can communicate with people. Mm. And, yeah.
Wow. I'm feeling it. Wow. Yaku, from my understanding, you did actually leopard crawl under a concrete slab, compacted with four slabs, and you got to two people. Now, the big question is, what was going through your head at that time? It must have been something surreal.
Yeah, well, we communicated with the trap people all the time. And from my understanding, at first, they were in the basement. Mm. So we drilled holes in every slab, checked with the camera, and then we cut jackhammered and excavated rubble to open up each layer. We then scanned for any visible signs of life with a stick camera, checked the stability of that slab, and opened up the hole to work in. Now, this was done with every slab. the first two persons we got out within 10 minutes apart. The third person took us 2 hours to get out. And Francois and I rotated in 1 hour shifts to crawl in 2.5 meters to work on the fourth survivor. We were the only two on the team that was actually small enough to fit into the 40 centimeter gap between the top and the bottom slab and still be able to use the jackhammer and clear the rubble. By cutting his shoe, Francois managed to free him after about 3 hours. The team just worked tremendously together. Everybody had a job and excelled at it. You don't think of what can go wrong at that stage. You just want to free the person in front of you as quick and safely as possible. To the A team, Francois, Alfie, Armand, Dirk, here next to me, and our assigned Metro rescue teams that controlled and assessed this operation. I've never experienced so much teamwork, determination, and selfless effort in my life. These guys worked like machines. Around 6 tons of rubble was removed by hand in 9 hours from this rescue hole. There was no time to be afraid, sore, tired. We had one mission, and we accomplished that. We will keep our hopes up until the last brick is removed, and we hope to find some more life.
Wow, heroes don't always wear capes, eh? You guys are amazing. Dirk, you said you'll forever be amazed at how the sniffer dogs did their jobs down there. You had those melanoids. How did that...
Yeah, my cousin does anti-poaching as well, and they basically train the dogs to do these things. I remember 2 days ago, one of the sniffer dog units, the canine units, the trainer mentioned on SABC that if there's one drop of blood in an Olympic-sized swimming pool, the dog will be able to pick it up.
Wow.
And... You know, there were different spots allocated to where we thought, and ironically it did pan out that was true. And it was just absolutely amazing to see. So, yeah, they let everybody come off-site, that the human scent dissipates. And, yeah, they let one dog come in as a control. That dog is removed. Another dog comes in, gets off, and another dog comes in, and ironically, where we thought all three of the dogs went to go sit and barked.
Wow.
And that's also an awesome feeling. Obviously, you can be totally wrong, but everything actually did pan out exactly how you envision it. Yeah, I think just to get off on all the serious stuff and just to get in a little bit more about man's best friend.
Yeah.
Is I do snake removals in George.
Okay.
I'm very much into wildlife conservation.
Okay.
And you know, there's so many beautiful things about the Western Cape. I mean, we've got the biggest bulb density in the world.
Mm.
We've got the biggest fauna density in the world. And that's why NASA has been doing assessments on the Western Cape the past 3 months.
Okay.
And there's two Belgian Malinois, and if I'm not mistaken, the other one is a GSP, a German short-haired pointer.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, they use those for tortoise conservation as well. We've got the most endangered tortoise species in Africa in the Western Cape.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I honestly don't know what we would have done without the dogs.
Really, really, those are very, very special dogs, those. Listen, you two did an amazing job. Thank you so much. Is there anything else you want to add before we say cheerio? Just something you would like to say that to the listeners, or just your experience overall, just before we say cheers?
Well, yeah, from my side, you know, we all think about just the rescuers, but the people behind the scenes that kept us fed and hydrated, the medical staff that even looked after us, I want to say a special thanks to them as well. You don't have to wear a hard hat and an overall and work a jackhammer to do the rescue. That is part of our team. So to all the service clubs of George and surrounds that rallied up and kept us motivated, and also hydrated and fed. Thank you to them. That is really close to heart.
Well done.
Yeah, I like my wife, like I tried to explain to my wife last night as well, Tuesday night was basically the grit of the week for me personally. And my wife was upset when I came home. She wasn't angry. She obviously understood that there's people that are in very much need to have assistance. And I just said to her, remember, this is one night that for me, you are stressing about me, of me potentially endangering myself. The fire rescuers, the medics, that's how their families most probably feel every single night.
That's it, absolutely.
So for me as well, I still, there's one person, it's a little bit off topic, but there's one person that I would, they can Facebook message me or call me. That lady that made the chicken soup on Tuesday night, I really want to get that recipe, and I want to know where the hell you got that fresh bread. There were these little round breads. I don't know where they got them from, if Lurie Bakery made them just a fresh batch. But to get out of that hole and get fresh, warm soup with little fresh baked bread, that was awesome.
Oh, man, what a lovely story in the end, eh? Really and truly, guys, it's been an absolute honor having you on the show. Thank you so much for what you did. And, yeah, big, big thanks from our side.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Absolute pleasure.
Your digital library experience. Podcasts from algoafm.co.za.